So on tonight's show, it is a continuation of the zodiacal series that I've been going through, starting from Aries. Last month was Gemini. And then starting from today or tomorrow, depending on where you read, we have entered into the constellation of Cancer. Now, just as a reminder, on the homepage of the Gnostic Waves website, there is an ad for the show, and it has the picture of Cancer as portrayed by Joffre, the artist. And I'll go through elements of that artwork, because it really does represent the sign, or each of the signs, really well in the symbology there. So if you are listening live, have a look at the homepage of Gnostic Waves, or if you're listening to the recording, undoubtedly you would have come across the image before downloading the recording. So it is there for you to have a look at. Now, the most notable features of this sign, the main one would be the symbol of the crab. So Cancer, the crab, is a negative or feminine sign and is water in generation. So the crab symbol is often portrayed as a large crab. However, Joffre, in his artwork and in his explanation of the art, says that the more accurate symbol is the small hermit crab, as it expresses the personality characteristics of the natives of Cancer more accurately. Now, the hermit crab puts its weak hindquarters in abandoned snail shells for protection. And if it grows too big for any particular shell, then it searches for a bigger one and quickly rehouses itself. From its secure position, the hermit crab lies in wait for its prey that it grabs quickly with its large claws and pulls it into the house. So that is Joffre's description there. So continuing on, the sideways or oblique backwards movement, typical of crabs, is also illustrative of the star sign. It illustrates they can gladly lose themselves in the past. They live in a state of historical awareness and, looking back, can appreciate the continuity of events. So now, the experiences that were collected under Gemini, which is the last sign, are now consolidated, classified and advanced under Cancer. Now, Cancer is a collector of things at all levels. So on the material level, they are known to collect things that are beautiful, probably to put in their home, in their shell. At the emotional level, they are collecting deep experiences. At the mental level, they are collecting knowledge in a scientific fashion. And spiritually, they try to gain insight into the basis of the existence of all things. So the Cancerians' fixed point is the home, is their castle, or, as said before, their snail shell, wherever it is that they feel protected. And this is where they retreat at the end of the day or end of some experience they've done, but with their newly obtained treasure. So they bring it back to their home. So they are domestic by nature and enjoy good company. Their home is their safe place where they can store their possessions that they collect. Now, we note on Joffre's painting that there are a lot of hands in the in the outer periphery of the work, and these hands are like grabbing different treasures. So this is then showing that nature that they have to collect things, as depicted in the artwork. Now, the next notable feature of the sign is that it's governed by the moon. So This is depicted in Joffre's work. We have the crab in the middle that's inside, reaching out of its shell. It's reaching up to the moon. And then in the moon, in the sky, you also see the chaste Diana or Artemis, who is the goddess of hunting and the animal kingdom. She is the eternal virgin, and she represents the most spiritual aspect of the planet. So the archangel that actually governs the moon is Angel Gabriel, and this he is under the ray of life or of birth. So both have a strong role or strong influence in the natives of Cancer, but also that the energies that we can feel at this time. So very nurturing type of energy, but we'll go into that a bit later. So yeah, in all maternal matters, especially relating to birth, if we know someone that's giving birth soon, or if we are pregnant, then you can work with the Archangel Gabriel, or even with the conscious beings of the constellation of Cancer to help that pregnancy come about with minimal complications and as it should. So getting that help. Now, Cancer is a water sign, as mentioned before. It's feminine and it's also a cardinal sign. So the cardinal characteristic means that they are good initiators, which means they can be good leaders as well, which is a very interesting characteristic, especially in the Cancerian. So their motto is, I feel. The water aspect means that they are highly emotional by nature. So that's more of their center of gravity. So we see the ocean is portrayed in Joffre's painting as well. Now, the moon and the water have a very special connection, and we've gone through this in other shows. The moon and the earth, they share the same vital body. And so the moon actually is, rotating around the earth. It governs the sap in vegetables and also the rising and ebbing of the seeds, so the tides and how they come in and out. There's also a lot of other influences that the moon governs, and also depending on the phase or the stage of the moon. So the moon has power over salt, and salt is the base of all that is alive. And if we were listening last week, then we heard the talk on the esotericism of salt, so that flows on quite well. Now, the moon and the phases of the moon have an effect on all the waters of life, so not just the oceans, but it also affects our emotions as well. And this is more strongly felt with the natives of Cancer. And so, like, just as an example, the effect of the full moon on people being more energized, more lively, possibly more rowdy. There's more incidences in hospitals, there's more patients coming in, and generally the energy affects people, whether they're aware of it or not. And but for the Cancerian, this is quite more strongly felt, given that they're governed by the moon. All right, well, we'll take a short break. I've chosen a track composed by Philip Glass, a violin concerto, and it's just the first part, so I'll just play that and then we'll be back to continue on this topic. All right, so continuing on with the topic of Cancer, the zodiacal series, so referring again to the painting of Joffre's, we see in the bottom left corner an oyster shell with a pearl inside. Now, I'm just going to read out what he writes about this because it's quite well written. So it goes, I have chosen the pearl to represent the acquisition of emotional experiences. It is the classic symbol of suffering that leads to insight. A pearl is by way of being a symptom of illness in the oyster, Should a foreign body, a stone or fragment of shell, enter the oyster's shell, its weak, sensitive body is irritated and it reacts by covering the alien object with layer upon layer of pearl, so smoothing it and making it less painful. In this way, suffering brings about the growth of a beautiful jewel. So I thought this was a really beautiful way to look at and to represent how the difficulties and afflictions that we suffer in life can be transformed into, you know, a beautiful pearl. And I didn't really know that that is how they formed as well. So maybe you didn't. Maybe you learned something there too. So he goes on and he says that next to the open oyster, the holy scarab beetle of ancient Egypt rolls a pearl up the slope. There is double symbolism here. The scarab is a beetle that lays its egg in manure that it has first kneaded into a ball. It then rolls the ball into a hole already dug for the purpose. Safe under the earth and provided with plenty of food, the egg in the manure eventually develops into a new beetle. However, the ancient Egyptians did not know that an egg had already been laid in the manure and thought that a beetle had created itself from the rotting matter, i.e. like spontaneous generation. Many of the ancients believed that life appeared spontaneously from the dead matter without the usual implanting process being first involved. This is why the dung beetle was also seen as a shadow of the Godhead who constantly recreated himself. In this case, the ball of dung was the golden sun that the beetle rolled every day across the path of the heavens from east to west. It was the ultimate symbol of rebirth, the constantly self-renewing life using the power of Ra, the sun. Since the consciousness develops and revives through grief, Jofra substituted a pearl for the ball of dung, so turning the sun symbol into a moon symbol, because the sea and all that lives in it, just like the soul, are bound to a great extent to the moon. So here we have a couple of really powerful symbols of transformation, of regeneration and rebirth. And this is quite relevant for the topic of Cancer because it involves the moon, which helps and has a role in birth and conception. Also, in Egypt, the sacred scarab beetle symbolized the soul. And it says that reincarnating souls pass through the sphere of Cancer before taking a body. Okay, we can elaborate a bit on that a bit later on when I talk, remind us about the process of birth and death, which are, intimately related. But let me talk a bit about the natives of Cancer. So it says that they are variable as the phases of the moon. So, you know, not surprising given that they are influenced, ruled by that the moon, and that the phases would also affect them too. So tranquil by nature, however terrible when angered. They show a disposition towards the manual or practical arts, keen on novels and films. They have a vivid imagination but must be careful to not fall into fantasy. Well, I think that we all have the potential to fall into fantasy. They have a soft, retiring and timid nature with homely virtues. Actually, I was talking to another Cancerian just before, and they were saying that, yeah, not all of them have such homely virtues. So I think there's variables in this, and it also depends on other planets that are in our, where other planets are situated at our time of birth as well. Okay, continuing on. So some are overly passive, lax and lazy. And they are said to be very romantic, amorous and tenacious. Now, this tenacious aspect is not surprising given the symbol of the pearl, how it's formed in the oyster, and also the dung beetle that's pushing its dung egg up the hill is a good example of that tenacity. All right, so during the sign of Cancer, the forces that accumulate in the bronchia and the lungs now pass to the thymus gland. It's intimately related with that gland. And the thymus actually has a role. It's a lymphoid organ which provides or produces and helps to mature T lymphocytes for the immune system. So it has a very prominent role in our immune system. Now, the thymus is most active in childhood, and it actually is said to diminish in function by the time we hit puberty, which is interesting because the moon rules the first 7 years of life. So there is a teaching that says that every 7 years we're governed by different planets, which we might cover on this show one day. The first 7 years are of the moon, and it's really interesting that the moon affects the thymus gland, and this is most active in childhood. So the other thing is that the mother's mammary glands are intimately related with the thymus gland, so that's why it's advised for women to breastfeed if possible, so that there's the most, better for the immune system of the infant. The thymus, the moon, the cancer, that it's all a very nurturing sign, and a feminine type of energy. So it's not obviously not just females that are Cancerian, but the actual nature of the Cancerian is therefore quite a nurturing one. And also, if we have Cancer in our chart, if it's not just our sun sign, we've got it somewhere else, it can also give us those characteristics. Whilst the positive aspect is the nurturing element, there's also the excess nurturing can become smothering as well. So that there is the dual side of that characteristic. Also talking about the thymus and the immune system, and it was interesting to read that we produce most of our T lymphocytes in the thymus up until puberty, and then they're formed, which I thought was quite interesting. And our immune system protects us. So we can also relate, that protective element to Cancer, as our immune system works to help protect us against foreign particles. Then we can understand that relationship with Cancer. All right, I wanted to read some words written by a fellow Gnostic instructor, Carly Samish, who was on the show last week, and she, in a local newsletter in the Portland Gnostic Center, she wrote an article for this newsletter, Cancer Thoughts. And so I'm just going to read it straight out because it's great. Cancer is a watery sign ruled by the moon and governs gestation, growth, birth, as well as the types of groups bounded by these phenomena, families, tribes and clans. The waters of Cancer are the rivers, wells, streams, springs and lakes that gestate tribal existence and eventually civilizations. We are also reminded of tide pools with Cancer, the home of crabs and other creatures at the edge of the great oceans. The moon is in charge of the flow of the tides, and this lunar influence extends to the water in all life systems, including plants animals and humans. Therefore, the moon and Cancer are very closely connected with the cyclical and fertile nature of the feminine. Cancer is polarized by Capricorn, an earthly sign governed by Saturn. Cancer is growth and life. Capricorn is time and death. Cancer rules the soft and feminine parts, body parts, the stomach, belly and breasts, which change and fluctuate throughout the life stages of the female. Capricorn rules the bones and the teeth, the core skeletal structure which perpetuates long after the fleshy parts have rotted away. Capricorn and the skeleton reminds us of our limited time, the constriction and burdens of karma we face in this world. Cancer, the waters of life and the fertile feminine, remind us of the cycle of life that continues and the blood ties that keep people together to support each other. The Cancer-Capricorn polarity is about growth and time. Time is growth and movement, and change is inevitable with the passage of time. Goethe, in his studies of natural phenomenon, noted the time quality as an underappreciated aspect of scientific observation and the need to be present with nature to know it in all its dimensions. A living thing, such as a plant, is not static in three dimensions. It is nurtured, grows, changes, is never the same moment to moment. All things only really live in the movement and time-based four dimensions. Growth needs the limitations of time, and time needs the movement of growth. The disease Cancer, named for the crab-like way the cells manifest in the body, is unchecked growth. In a normal system, cells undergo a type of voluntary death and dismantling called apoptosis. But in Cancer cells, they refuse to die. Cancer Capricorn is about balance between the multiplicity and progression of life and simplicity and severity of death. So I thought that was a really interesting article, because it links that understanding of life and growth with that of death, and especially in Cancer cells, like the disease Cancer, which happens when there's a mutation in the cell cycle process, so that cells are just growing and growing and growing. Normally there is a signal to stop the cell growth, and so it's, you know, regulated. But in Cancer, the disease, this mutation means that there's unproliferate, growth that's happening non-stop. And so it was just interesting to reflect on that, especially with Capricorn, which we haven't covered yet because it's on the other end of the zodiac. But good to get a taste of that. Now, this idea of life and death is something that is one of the teachings of this month, one of the reflections of this month, because we don't have birth without death. We tend to polarize them. We want and focus more on birth, but the death part we often just tend to leave until it happens, not wanting to really confront it or acknowledge it, and just trying to focus more on life and not death. It's said that in the Vedic wisdom, the five causes of all actions are the body, the ego, the organs, the functions, and the deities or the planets. Now the ego is something that concerns us quite a lot. The ego is said to be lunar. So, you know, it's quite related to the moon. And when we leave the physical body, so after death, it's our egos or our psychic matter find themselves in a new womb. And this is with the help of the forces of the moon. The moon brings the deceased, to the body and out of the body. So it helps in that process. Also with the angels of death. So that is our psychic material, that carries on after death. So the process of it moving on to the new embryo is helped by the forces of the moon. So death and conception are intimately related. The path of life is formed by the hoof prints of the horse of death. The vibratory waves of death transport the image of the deceased. That image is deposited into the fertilized ovum. It's really the genes that constitute the border between this world and the other, between the third and fourth dimensions. The waves of the deceased, the waves of death, are what act upon the genes, giving them order within the fertilized ovum. Thus, the lost physical body is reformed. The design of the deceased becomes visible in the embryo. So that's how we, in our past lives, end up doing the same things, or we don't change much from life to life, because unless we consciously change and awaken consciousness, we're just going to be doing the same things in a recurrent type of way. And the energy of how we are when we pass away or when we die, disincarnate, affects our genes and how they develop in our next life. And so this has the capacity to absorb and reflect all the values that we are. So that's why, you know, at that point of death, if we are the same person we were at the start, it's just going to be the same process again. If we really want to change, or we really want to, wake up, have a different life, or even to liberate ourselves from the process of life and death, we need to be able to change now, because then our energetic values are going to be different and they're going to attract different circumstances. It's like we don't even have to see it from the point of view of when we die physically. Every day reflects this. Every time we wake up, it's a birth, and every time we go to sleep, it's like a death. The egos that we have when we sleep are actually, they leave the body, they project themselves in the fifth dimension, in the astral world. And so it's a very similar process to what happens at our physical death. So basically, we shouldn't put off doing things today, because it's going to affect tomorrow. And it's like a small version of what happens when we actually die physically. So hopefully this is this teaching of birth and how it relates to death is something that we can reflect on during the time of cancer. So we can inspire ourselves to, you know, do those things that we keep putting off and really live for the day and the moment, not for the future or not even the past. Living in the moment and having that inspiration to awaken consciousness, which is like a big aim in this work and the Gnostic studies and Gnostic schools. Whilst I remember, next introductory lecture for the northern suburbs is going to be July the 4th. At Bagster Road Community Centre, and it is on the topic of elementals. So how we can work with elementals, and I have covered this on the show before when we did a review of the peppermint plant. And I'd like to very soon do another review of an elemental, but still a work in progress. So yeah, just on that topic of life and death, they are not opposite. They're not so different to each other. Life and death are like different sides of the same coin. So the way we segregate it is not necessarily how it reflects in reality. Okay, well, soon we'll go to another short music break. It's the second half of the piece I played before. and then we'll do a practice. And we're going to focus on what's called the retrospection practice. And this is something that we have covered on the show before, but we'll do again because it's what's prescribed during the time of cancer. And the retrospection involves going back to the point when we woke up today and reflecting over the day. Now, when we do this practice, the aim is so that we can remember, well, the aim is so that we can know ourselves, to observe what we've done, the things that we're proud of, the things that we're not so proud of, and also to make our subconscious become conscious. So eventually, if we do this practice often, we're going to understand ourselves better and see those things, give time to those elements of the day that we weren't able to when they happened. Also, it helps us to remember our past lives, because remembering those is also a retrospection practice. We're trying to remember what we did in the past life. And this is going to be linked or associated with our current life because, as I said, we pass on the values of our last life onto this life. And so if we have been not working to awaken consciousness, then it's probably going to be very similar. We might be in a different body, a different time, a different country, but our own values, our own emotions, our own egos are probably going to be the same. And so whilst in a different scenario, we'll probably see the same things coming up. And so we work towards experiencing our past lives as well, but not trying to force any experience, just trusting in what it is that we are being shown. And so let's go to the music break and then come back for the meditation.